So the basic details, my abstinence, I've been abstinent since the beginning of the year. My health conditions, it's the only place where I feel cool that I have so many. not really, but and I'm gonna list them just because, it's always helpful for me to know when other people have the same thing and we can talk about it and help each other out. But I have rheumatoid arthritis, fibromyalgia. I have osteoarthritis and scoliosis in my back. Have IBS. I have a bladder condition called interstitial cystitis. I have an abdominal nerve condition called abdominal cutaneous nerve entrapment syndrome. And I recently got diagnosed with hypersomnia and I have sleep apnea. And I also have bipolar two with sometimes with rapid cycling and mixed episodes, PTSD and general anxiety disorder. So I basically have this sheet that I carry with me everywhere that has all my medications on it. And at the bottom has my health conditions and my emergency contacts. And I carry that with me in my wallet all the time. So if I see a new doctor, I can just pull out the sheet and give it to them and not have to try to remember and go through them all the time. So anyway, so I don't want to talk too much about, I mean, well, you know what? I often go into speaking and think like I want to have a perfect share and inspire everybody. And, sometimes end up not being really honest. So I think I just my goal today is to just be honest about where I'm at today. But I will talk a little bit about my history. I did grow up in an abusive home. My father sexually abused me as early as I can. My internet has been really off yesterday and today. So maybe that's God's way of saying, be quiet. anyway, I'll continue. I think I was saying I got sober in AA when I was 20. I'm also in two other recovery programs that I got sober in along the way. My kind of my experience is that when I was sober in AA for like a few years, I went to a bunch of other programs, but I just kind of wasn't ready, I think, to deal with some of those other issues. And I also had been misdiagnosed with as depressed with depression instead of bipolar, and ended up being hospitalized a few times. And when that happened, I just needed to focus on that, and I needed to focus on getting some stability. So I think it's been a few years ago when I was in OA before. At least, there weren't Zoom meetings. This was, I don't know, 2001 or something. There obviously wasn't Zoom meetings. The people that I were, that I was around had this really strict recovery, and I felt like that was really hard for me to do. And a few years ago, I went to dinner with a friend of mine, and she said that she was in OA, and but she was eating like nor what I consider, and I don't mean this as a judgment towards anybody, but normalish stuff. And I thought, well, maybe there's a way for me to be in OA and not have it be so strict. And, you know, maybe there's a way for me to do this. So since I've been in OA this time around, I've had a few different sponsors. I think one of my main issues is shaming myself. And so I often pick people that are also shaming kind of people. So I ended up with a few sponsors that were like that. But got lucky enough to find the sponsor that I have now. And I've had her for, I don't know, a year and a half, 2 years. And she's very gentle. She's honest, but she's gentle. And I'm totally a proponent of that's a possible thing to be. You know, you could be honest with someone without being shaming and without beating them up. She is really understanding that I have physical and mental health issues, and she doesn't push me in an unhealthy way. So I have, excuse me, I have completed the steps in OA. I went through the workbook, and that was really good. I've gone through the big book before and worked the steps that way. And that was a great experience for me too. You know, the big book is one of those things where, you know, when I first read it and there were all these keys and hymns and lords and whatever, I was just like, I grew up in the Unitarian Church, which is very open-minded and very, you don't have to believe, you know, anything if you don't want to, but also with the opposite from my grandparents, which was a very Southern Indiana Methodist conservative, you know, pretty close-minded. You know, your God has to be like this. So when I, you know, first read the big book, I wanted to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And thankfully there were people in recovery that said, you know, that took me through a big book study, and I got to see how much knowledge and how much awesome stuff there is in that book. So I recommend to anybody, if you can, you can read that book and let go of some of those parts. It helped me to understand being an addict on a level that I hadn't understood before. I'm going to talk about my abstinence a little bit, because I feel like finding the footsteps meetings maybe a year and a half ago or something has really changed my recovery. In my experience, the footsteps meetings are really, at least the ones that I go to, are really open and caring. Finding the chronic illness meetings and the mental health meetings has had a huge impact. You know, walking through life with those things, and, you know, people who don't struggle with those things often don't understand what we go through on a daily basis. And, you know, I've been called lazy, and, you know, why can't you just push through this? And why do you keep going through that and all of that kind of stuff? And to find a place where I hear people share the things that I deal with and I don't feel shamed for it has just been incredible for me. So I've gotten a lot more involved with those meetings. I started a mental health meeting on Saturdays that meets at 2 p.m. Eastern on Zoom. And it has a pretty loose format. I think some people probably wouldn't be comfortable with it, but it's, you know, it's kind of open sharing about mental health. And, you know, it's an OA meeting. We read the steps and stuff, but it's the people that come seem to appreciate that that they can share openly about what's going on with them. Because that is definitely a chronic illness, you know, and definitely part of what I deal with. So when the pandemic started, I was working, basically working, doing Uber and DoorDash and stuff. I've had a lot of different jobs over my life, and I've often ended up losing those jobs because of attendance, because I just had so many health issues that it's been hard for me to show up to work. And no matter how hard I would try, it just felt like I was always, you know, trying to play catch up, and I always beat myself up for that. And had a sponsor in another program ask or, you know, suggest me applying for disability for a long time, but it wasn't until the pandemic started and I was able to get quite a bit of unemployment that I decided to go ahead and do it, because of me being immunocompromised. It was really not, I didn't feel safe to be working and to be around other people, because some of the medication that I take are immunosuppressants. So I applied for disability and took about a year, which I've heard is not very long to get approved. And so I've been on disability for about 2 years now. Being on disability has helped me to, I think, be able to rest more. I definitely deal with a lot of fatigue from my different conditions. I don't know if, you know, the thing about being on disability, and, you know, I'm not going to get into the politics of anything, but once you're on it for a few years, then you have to go on Medicare and you still have to pay 20% of all your medical costs. Well, when you have multiple health conditions and a bunch of medications, that adds up really quickly. And I will tell you that disability is not very much money. I get $1,385 a month. $1,385 a month. So in order to get, basically to get Medicaid to be able to pay for all my health stuff, I can't make above a certain amount of money. And I kind of would like to work part-time maybe sometimes, you know, maybe do some DoorDash or something like that, but I can't. Because if I do that, I end up making too much money, and then I have to go back to paying that 20% again. And so it wouldn't be worth it. And that's frustrating for me, but that's why recovery is so important for me. You know, when people ask me, so how do you structure your life? Recovery is how I structure my life, you know? I go to meetings every day in one program or another, sometimes multiple programs. You know, it's really what is central to me, you know, maintaining my sanity. I'm also lucky enough that I have family that can help me out. I'm really lucky to have that because that's not very much money to live on. But I am grateful that I'm able to do it, that I'm able to be on it right now. I am getting ready to move in about 3 weeks. The apartment that I've been living in for 5 years is on the second floor. When you have arthritis in your back, it's not a really good experience. The stairs are literally falling apart. One of the boards fell off the other day. My air conditioner has been out for over a week, and the temperature here with the humidity today is 103 degrees. So I decided to take my own money and go buy a window unit because my landlords just don't think it's an important thing to do anything about. So I found a new place. It's on the ground floor. It seems like a much nicer place for me. I'm really grateful that I'm going to be living there. But, you know, as a disabled person, moving is stressful, you know, because I used to be able to pack everything up and pick up and move boxes and do all that stuff. And I can't do that anymore. And I have to ask for a lot of help, and I still have some pride, you know, going on here of not wanting to ask for help. But I'm really lucky that I have people in my life who understand that I need help. Thank you, Gloria. And so I've had friends volunteer to help me pack. I just called a moving company before I got on the meeting, and I'm hiring a moving company to help me. And, you know, last year I was going to move, and then at the last minute, I just felt so stressed out about it that I canceled it. And this year, I need to do it. I need to be in a better situation. Literally, because the stairs are going to fall down, and also just being on the ground floor, having a washer and dryer. But it is, you know, it's really humbling. You know, I was on the track team in high school, and I used to have the energy to do so much stuff, and I don't have that anymore. You know, I think so much of it is about acceptance, and being able to accept where I am, what's going on in my life, and not beat myself up about it. It's not something I chose, you know, and to be able to listen to myself and listen to my body, you know. There are some days when I wake up and I have quite a bit of energy and I can do more things. And then there are other days I wake up and I feel like I've been hit by a truck, you know, and I have the ability, you know, to go back to bed those days. And I'm grateful for that. I want to talk a little bit. My abstinence has changed a lot since I've been in the program, and I've gone through periods where I've written it down and sent it to my sponsor the night before. I have gone through periods where I haven't tracked it or, you know, done anything and tried to just eat healthier. But I think the most important thing for me has to just been kind of to listen to my body and listen to myself and be willing to make adjustments if that's what I need to do. I don't like to focus on my weight, but lately I have the reality that I'm pretty overweight, and I know it doesn't help my back and my body and stuff. So, and I hope this isn't triggering for anyone, but I've been counting calories. But even with counting calories, sometimes I can count them and be like, well, yep, they're way over what I'm supposed to eat today. it comes down, I think, to the willingness to let go of some things, and that's hard. I'm on, medication that changes my metabolism. I'm on a medication that increases my appetite. I'm perimenopausal. It's like I've got quite a few things working against me. And, when I was younger, if I wanted to lose weight, I changed my eating and it all just fell off. And that's not how it is today. And being able to be patient and gentle with myself. Thank you. Is what I'm trying to work on. I'm seeing my psychiatrist next week, and I may talk to her about making some changes. But I also know that my mental health is more important than me losing weight. My weight is not at a point where it's threatening my health. When I get my blood work done, there's no issues as far as being diabetic or anything. So having that medication so that my brain works well is so important, because that is one of my biggest triggers. Is if my mental health is off, that food is the first thing that I want to go to. So that it's just really, really important that I pay attention to that. And lastly, I wanted to share, probably get emotional. One of the things I know about me, or I've learned about me, is I'm a very emotional person. And that's okay. I cry really easily. But I also feel life. I feel life at its hardest levels, but also at its great levels. But I was talking to my mom about, affording this move and paying the security deposits, and she was kind of suggesting that I have more communication with my father because he's helping find out financially so much. And, I started crying and I broke down and I just thought, I will search my soul. I will pray. I will talk to my sponsor, and I'll do what feels okay for me. And that's, doing that, that comes from working the steps. That comes from being in recovery. I can have my emotions about it and be honest, but I can also pause and say, I'm not sure if that's okay with me. But also trust that if he decides to stop helping out, that it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay one way or the other. It always has been. And I've been through some times where I really didn't want to be on this earth anymore. And I'm still here, So having faith, even though you don't know what the higher power is at the time, doesn't matter. You guys give me faith one day at a time. So it's really good to be here. Thanks for listening to me. And I will help.